You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If the Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
She gets home from Clubhouse because she wanted to watch a radio show or a TV or a podcast or whatever better than our show. And then there's Jay dealing with the landlords from hell tonight. So if I was Jay, I wouldn't be on the air either because I'd be madder. Holy cats, is my living room overrun by a plague of ladybugs? Yuck. I just looked up at the ceiling. I love this time of year in Wisconsin. So, hey, we're out of the pocket, and we have our international correspondent, Thaddeus Collins, on tonight, or as Annie likes to say, Thadrick.
Hey, guys. Yes, I am. I'm not on mute, I hope.
No, you're not on mute. Yeah, so our London correspondent joins us again, because I think he actually was able to see the game yesterday, correct?
Part of it. Most of it. I finally figured out who Jeff Janis was, so that's good.
That's awesome. So, is this the first game you've seen this year, or have you been able to, a Packer game? Because I know that the NFL has broadcast in London, because there's been some London games. Have you been able, did you go to any of the London games, by the way?
No, they're way too expensive. It's not worth it.
Yeah, that's right. When you start converting in your head from pounds sterling to English units,
yeah.
Like, whoa, that's a really expensive, crappy football game.
Yeah, like 350 pounds, which is probably like $550. Not worth it to see like the Jets or the Dolphins.
That wouldn't blow me for it.
If we can get the Packers over next year, that'd be really good, though.
You do realize that the Packers that we're all sleeping in your living room, right?
Yeah. We gotta work it out with the roommates, but we can make it happen.
I will make you
That'll
guys and all of you a seat. Traditional English fry up for breakfast if you let us all crash there.
Okay. That sounds like a good bidding point to start with.
There we go. Bidding point. That will cook for you. All right.
Yeah.
So, hey, the Packers had an ugly win, but as I pointed out this morning on Twitter, unlike the BCS where there are arbitrary style points that are completely subjective, there are absolutely no style points in football, and Packers are 6-0. So, Thad, you saw one of the few games this season that you were able to see. What were your just initial impressions about it?
I've actually seen most of the game except for the late clock games. But, I mean, I kind of like ugly wins. I feel like no matter what the sport, ugly wins are the mark of a really good team. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, like, 5-6 years ago, these are games that we would lose to teams that are on our level. So when you can find a way to win, even if it's ugly, that's always a positive in my opinion.
So why do you think these are even better? You said sometimes this proves that you're the better team. I know you just said that we tend to lose these in the past. Case in point, I think this was the toughest quarterback we took on. So what do you think of the Packers' allowing like 500 yards in the air, something ridiculous like that, but they still lost. So what are your thoughts on kind of overtaking Philip Rivers?
Yep. Well, I mean, it's one of those correlation, not causation things. You know, giving up a lot of yards normally correlates to a lot of points. It doesn't necessarily mean to give up a lot of points. So if you can find a way to still win, it's like giving up a record number of yards. You know, you take it. I know it's ugly, but the point of the game is to give up less points than you score. Sorry, guys. This is New York City. It's to give up less points than you score. So, I'm really happy with it. I mean, I don't necessarily mind having a defense that, bends or doesn't break. I know a lot of people don't like watching it, but I'm fine with it, you know, as long as we ultimately end up winning the game.
All right. So, Annie, what were your initial impressions about the game?
Well, I actually got to go to the game, which was kind of awesome. And so we were up in the south end zone, which was all cushy because it was like, you know, like plastic chairs with backs on them and cup holders. And I was like, what? Anyway, I'll talk more about that later when Sad has to sign off. But I tend to agree. I tend to look at these games as positives because when you look at really, really good teams and the ones that tend to go the distance, it's the ones who can win those games that are really, really tough where people don't play their best. Like, you know, even Rodgers or, you know, some key players don't have their best games. They have those letdown games that are to be expected. And when they do that, the Packers as a team still find a way to win. And so I really like that. I like to look at it that way rather than going, oh, we have so many problems we have to fix. Sure, we have some scheme issues to figure out, and yeah, we have some injuries to deal with, and we seem to be kind of missing that some pieces that could really help even things out a little bit, especially on offense. But in the end, I like to see when things get ugly that we still come out with the win in the end, and now we're 6-0. So, woohoo!
Yeah, I think you really hit on it, and Thad mentioned it as well. You look at a team a couple of years ago, or even last year for that matter, and I think they wouldn't have won it. I think this would have been a game they would have lost last year. I think that this reminds me a lot of 2010 with the next man up. The fact that nobody knows who our receiving core is right now is really a testament to the grit of the offense. Yeah, Lacy didn't have a good day, so Stark scored twice. Montgomery went out, so Aberderis played, and Jazz Janis, we'll talk about him a little bit more in a little bit, actually didn't have that bad of a day. I think it really was one of what they always call one of a team victory, where it wasn't one like the offense or the defense winning the game, where they worked together and held it together and made San Diego earn every point, and fortunately we came out a winner. So let's talk about that offense. Rodgers didn't have that great of a day. You know, he had kind of, if you compare it to Rodgers-esque type numbers, it was fairly pedestrian. You know, that said, his statistics are something the 80s and early 90s Packers would love to have had. So sad, but what did you think of Rodgers' performance yesterday?
I I'm not really big on yards. I don't play fantasy anymore. So for me, like, you know, a quarterback not having, you know, 350 yards, 4 touchdowns isn't really a big deal to me. You know, you sort of want your quarterback to maintain possession, keep the ball, keep the yards, or keep the drive going. And beyond that, I'm pretty fine with it. You know, we've been very lucky with Rodgers over the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 years being a very elite quarterback. But honestly, there's just some games where you're not going to have it, and, you know, you're down a couple of weapons or receivers or whatever, and you've got to find a way to just keep yourself in the game. I mean, you look at the Colts game later that day, and, you know, Andrew Luck was able to keep his team in the game for a bit, but then he faltered. So, you know, like I said, 5 years ago, maybe Rodgers couldn't have kept us in a game like that, and Philip Rivers throwing for 500 yards would be, you know, an automatic loss. But so he sort of did what he had to do, Rodgers did, and kept us in the game. You know, the defense bent but didn't break, and, you know, ultimately became aware of the win. So, I don't know. I feel like I'm one of the rare minority Packers fans that ultimately I'm results-oriented, so as long as we get the win, I don't really care how it happens. But, you know, while I would love to beat up teams 47-3 every week, as long as they're winning and, you know, we keep the injuries to a minimum, I'm relatively content.
All right. So you brought up that we have the walking wounded with the receiving corps. James Jones wasn't 100%. Randall Cobb still is not 100%. Montgomery went out with looks like a garden variety ankle sprain is what Ian Rappaport, I think, was reporting today, so it was nothing serious. So we're down to the B team, so to speak, and definitely deep into the B team with the receiving corps. Do you think that factored into Rodgers with a pedestrian day, or do you think it just was he was off? What do you think about that, Thad?
Well, I think, you have to think of, I don't want to compare myself to a quarterback, but some days, you know, you go into work, and you just don't really, like, have it. You just go in, and you're just like, today's going to be one of those days where I'm just going to drag myself through it. So I think the culmination of the injuries and, you know, maybe it just wasn't his day. And I feel like maybe the last couple of weeks he really has sort of been off. And you don't really know. Sometimes, you know, players carry injuries that we don't really know about. So maybe he has, you know, something he's dealing with. I don't want to speculate anything. We're not breaking any news here. But, you know, maybe he's got a little niggle that he's dealing with that this week off will really help him deal with. So, you know, for the most part, again, as long as they're sort of getting the results done, then, like, that's pretty much all that matters in my book.
All right, then. So, Annie, if you're there, I know you're kind of multitasking right now. I'm going to bounce the same question to you if you have time. Do you think Rodgers' poor performance in the air, relatively speaking, he still had, like, a passer rating, like, I think I want to say 107 is what I heard last night, and I was half brain dead driving home last night. Do you think it's a factor if he's having a bad day, or do you think it's because he's really thrown to the B team with the receivers?
You know, I think that's a part of it. I think that especially Ty Montgomery going down, obviously losing Jordy has overall really affected our long game. You know, I mean, I think what teams are basically doing is they're saying, all right, you really have anybody that you super trust right now if you go for the long ball. When you have tried, a lot of times it gets dropped. James Jones is to a point capable, but at the same time, a lot of times one defender can cover him. And so I think that what teams are doing is saying, hey, we're going to double up Randall Cobb, who's your best weapon right now. We're going to try and make you beat us with your rookies, basically, you know, with your young kids and James Jones, the old guy, and see if, you know, you can't get it done that way. And I think the other thing is that they're doing a good job of keeping him contained, not letting him out of the pocket so much. And who knows? I mean, maybe Thad's right. Maybe there's a little bit of an ankle thing going on or a little bit of a knee thing or something got tweaked, and so he's not quite as mobile as usual. I don't know. Who knows? They're not going to say anything if it's something minor that's not going to affect his ability to play. So I think that between the opposing defense's ability to take away some of our, you know, our significant weapons on the tossing game. Well, then we've got Lazy, who's been injured. That hasn't helped. Starks, I think, had a really good game. I was surprised that they didn't go to him on that third and one where we did our classic long bomb, you know, 30-yard toss down the field when, you know, we really only needed a yard. But whatever, that's kind of a Packers thing to do. So I don't know. I don't know if he's hurt or not, but I do appreciate the fact that despite all the yards they got, and despite the fact that Rodgers didn't have his best game, and despite the fact that we had a lot of injuries going on, that we were still able to come away with the win.
Yeah, and I think you're on to something. They're making Rodgers really go to his tertiary choices, whether it's a tight end. You know, Justin Perillo was a target yesterday, or Jeff Janis, because and we'll talk about Janis in a few minutes. If you're going to your less sure target, you're more likely to drop the ball. And I think you're right, you're spot on, Annie. I think they're going to contain James Jones because he knows everyone in the entire league knows that that's going to be his reliable target. They're going to double team Randall Cobb, which means right now it's down to Jeff Janis, who's still, I think, really fairly rough. And I know he's not a rookie, but he still makes kind of rookie mistakes. So since I mentioned Janis, let's talk about Jeff Janis.
We do need to let Thad go here. So,
Thad, I'm going to ask you one more question about Jeff Janis before we cut you loose, okay? Is that all right?
All good.
All right, Jeff Janis. Your thoughts? I'm just going to leave it open-ended.
I wasn't joking when I, before I read Jay's article, I had no idea he was on the team. I've really been really bad, actually. I remember he was like, I recall now that he was drafted last year. You know, essentially he was like redshirted or red flagged, whatever the term is. But I literally had no idea. So everyone was talking about this guy. I thought it was a joke. And then I realized he's actually on the team. I always like young guys. So I like guys that, you know, have potential. I think he's a bit more hype than, you know, actual substance right now. But ultimately, you know, as long as he gets Rodgers' confidence, I think he'll be fine. And I think, you know, he went a long way this week, especially with that shovel pass, to get a bit of that confidence and have Rodgers trust in him. I mean, if I recall correctly, I remember when Randall Cobb first came in, like, Rodgers never targeted him at all because he didn't really know what he was about, didn't really trust him, and then they grew into a, you know, a very good relationship. So, I mean, I think it definitely takes a while to get there, and as long as, you know, he puts in the work on the practice field, I think there's, you know, there's room for him to grow. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to see what he does, not because I'm a big Jeff Janis fan, but just because we actually just need him to do stuff. We have so many injuries right now.
Oh, definitely. And I want to follow this up. There was one giant pass. Unfortunately, it didn't end at any point. But a giant pass to Jeff Janis way in the corner near the end zone. If you watch the film, Richard Rodgers is in the area. He falls down. Jeff Janis just kind of pops out of nowhere and catches it. Rodgers was asked by Lori Nichol, and she clarified that, yes, he intended to throw to Janis. But if you watch the film, I'm not so convinced, and I think Janis was running, was within a split second of knocking out Richard Rodgers. Do you remember that play, and what's your opinion of it?
That's for me?
Yeah, that's for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like the schoolyard play, right? I mean, I don't really care who it's for, but, like, it's a schoolyard play. Everyone's running around, and Rodgers sort of throws it up, and then, you know, I mean, if the other Rodgers fell down, I mean, and it was actually for him, then it would have been an incomplete pass. So I don't really, I mean, I like, if anything, I like the sort of hustle and grit, if you were, that Janis showed to be in the right place, even if it was at the wrong time, you know. So it all worked out in the end, and ultimately I think it's a positive play that he was able to be in an area where you can, you know, get possession of a ball and, you know, make a very important catch.
All right then. So Annie, do you remember the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I think we should let Sad go here.
Sad,
so
okay.
Go hang with his homies.
My beautiful loves, I love you guys. I don't know if you're doing one next week. I know there's a bye week, but if you're doing one next week, I can join in as well.
All right, tune in next week as our London correspondent, Sad Ward Collins.
Breaking news.
Cedric
will be joining us.
Yes.
We love having you on. We miss you dearly. I wish you were here this weekend for.
I know. It'll happen.
You'll come back. You'll come back to Green Bay. So give it up for Thaddeus Collins.
Thanks, guys.
Woo-hoo.
Go Pack, go.
Thank you, Thad.
Have a good night.
Yep.
Bye.
All right. So he has like a social schedule, which leaves the two of us who apparently do not.
Oh no. It's
all
happening.
Right. So. Do you remember that play? It's like Rodgers has gone on the record saying, oh, I totally meant to throw it to him. I'm not so convinced. And I'll give you my 2 cents after I get yours. So what do you think of that play?
You know, like you guys have mentioned in the past, I did not bring my fancy binoculars. And so it was hard for me to see exactly how that play developed. And I did see, however, on the big screen, the replay and everything. And, yeah, it looked to me like it was more of a, oh, I'm going to toss it up to this area. And thankfully, Janis was there to be able to come down with it. So I don't know if it was planned. I did not see it. I did record the game so that I could watch it eventually. But I literally got back from Wisconsin at 1:30 today and am still at work right now. So I haven't had the chance. But it was pretty legit. And when I saw it, I kind of shrieked, Janis! Just because we kind of had this running joke about Janis on this show, so I was kind of excited to talk about him.
All right, I'm going to go on the record that I'm not convinced that was intended for Janis. And yes, he looks like a brilliant genius for catching it. But I kept thinking, and I looked at my dad. You know, you met my old man, Dad.
I met Jim.
Yes. All right, so don't you agree he's like an older version of Jay?
He is, and he's hilarious because he basically kind of took over for Jay for giving me a whole lot of crap. And so
yeah, he just kind of deadpans it. Well, anyway, there's my dad, and I'm like, I don't think that was for him because Janis looks like a genius because he caught it. But what if he had knocked Richard Rodgers out in the process or totally dropped the ball? You know, there would have been a huge dose of butt chewing that would have gone on. Like, oh my God, run your stinking route.
Yeah, no, seriously.
So the brain were bursting gold. But if he would have screwed up that play, it would be, you know, there would have been hell to pay, I think. Because I really don't think he was running his route. We're playing 500. I'm just going to bomb it out there. Somebody please catch it.
Yay. At least it wasn't the other team. I don't think we had any interceptions this week, though, did we? So that's awesome.
No, we had plenty last week. So,
yeah.
No, we had no interceptions. Rodgers did not fumble the ball. He was sacked 3 times. He seemed like he was scrambling for his life a couple times. So you mentioned before that 3rd and 1. He could have leaned forward and get it. Why? Who called that play? What's your thought on that? That completely bonehead bonnet play.
Like, okay, so I know that every time Rodgers runs, I'm kind of like, but, like, for real, by the time that play developed into the complete and utter crap show that it was, I was like, dude, just dive forward. Seriously, there was, in the end, when he did finally choose to throw the ball, there was a few yards, maybe a yard or two in front of him where he easily could have, I mean, I don't want to say easily because nothing is easy in the NFL, but, you know, I was like, why don't you run for it? I understand that I'm sure that the coaches have, like, threatened him within an inch of his life to say, hey, don't be running out there. You look for every single possible option before you do, blah, 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 blah. So I kind of get it to a point because he's probably had that beat out of him a little bit. But at the same time, it just seems like silly that in the end he didn't just dive forward and get the first down. And then it ended up being a total poop fiesta.
So I want whoever designed that play, whether it was Rodgers on the fly or if it was McCarthy being a play caller again or if it was –
I think it was just broken from the beginning, part of the problem.
It was terrible from the beginning. You know, like you said, he could have just fallen forward and gotten the first down. But no, we're going to bomb him to like 10,000 yards to see what happens. But I think part of this was they couldn't get off the ground. I think part of it was because they really were the walking wounded. Everyone who was a starter was hurt. Montgomery, who wasn't hurt, got hurt, which left Jeff Janis, a hurt Randall Cobb, who was getting double teamed, and a couple plays, Jared Aberderis, which made me really excited. I'm really glad he was on the active roster because I don't know if they had anybody ready to do kickoff returns without him there. And he seemed to hold his own. He hit the ground running. I was really impressed with him. So do you think that as Montgomery is healing up, they're going to really start working Aberderis into more plays? Because I noticed he lined up in the slot a couple times, but he wasn't the target. What do you think is going to happen as everyone is healing?
Well, my question on that before I start to assume that we're going to be bringing in these boys to try and play is we've got a bye week here. And I don't know where Davante Adams is at with his recovery, but if he and Ty can get right before the game in a couple weeks, then I don't really think we're going to see a lot of Aberderis on anything other than special teams. I can see where they might try to work him in a little bit, but I get the impression that they're still really wanting to hold those guys off a little bit and bring in people that Rodgers knows and trusts if possible. So I guess that's kind of my hope is that, you know, this bye week really offers us the opportunity to heal up some of these issues, like you mentioned, the walking wounded. It does seem a lot like that. And so I'm just hoping that a few of our key players who are out are able to come back and play for the Broncos game, because obviously that's going to be a biggie. That defense is incredibly terrifying, in my opinion. So,
but their offense is not, is the thing, and we'll talk about as we get to the end of the show. It's totally a Thunderdome game. It's like two teams enter, one team leaves, and one will be undefeated, the other one will not.
Yeah, pretty much.
The last I remember reading about Davante Adams was at the end of last week. I haven't seen much about him since, but the idea was to rest him through the bye week. He had started limited practice, so he's on his feet. He's starting to go through drills. So I think he will be ready. It sounds like, with all indications, that Ty Montgomery, and I knew it was an ankle yesterday because I actually watched him as they took him to the training table. They took his shoe off, like, oh, it's his ankle, it's not his knee, thank God. And then he also rode in the front seat of the cart. So that's always a good sign, too. Right in the back seat, you blew your knee out. I think they will both be ready. James Jones, is it a hamstring or a groin? It's something like that. Should hopefully be healed up by then. And each week, Randall Cobb doesn't land on his shoulders. I think it is, too. But it's not bad enough that he can play. So I think, you know, a good week off of R&R, going back to California or whatever he does, will be good for his hamstring. And then Cobb, you know, every week that he doesn't land on his shoulder is a week that he's getting better.
Exactly.
So I think our receiving core will be back. I'm on that camp where I'm just not enamored with Jeff Janis. I would love to see Aberderis get installed more into the offense, because I think Rodgers does trust him, where I think Janis is still earning Rodgers' trust, because I think of the offseason praise that Rodgers has for Aberderis. I think there is a potential to work him into the offense, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. It feels like Jeff Janis is, like, out there, you know, like, I don't know. I get the impression that his discipline isn't all the way there. And again, that's just an impression, because I don't know.
But the thing is, I'm right on with you. I think he runs wild routes, and that's why I'm absolutely convinced that bomb of a pass was not intended. He's like, I'm here, I'll catch it,
Yeah, I got this.
Which is like, you know, all I can see is, I think of that line from Major League, where it's Willie Mays Hayes. He goes, you may run like Mays, but you bat like, you know, Chiz. It's like, don't effing do it again. Where I think he gets lucky. But I think that play was just, you know, two steps away from something catastrophic and taking our tight end out. Like, congratulations, you knocked out Richard Rodgers. It's a good thing he fell. I think you would have ran into him had he not. But somebody, I can't remember who I saw on Twitter, where they're like, okay, he doesn't remind me of an undisciplined Jordy Nelson. Or reminded, I forget who it was. Whoever it is, please tweet me who said this. That this person on Twitter said he is now reminding him of a Bill Schrader. Fast, but not the cleanest. Because he is fast, and he does have some benefit on special teams.
I don't know very much about Bill Schrader, if I'm being honest.
That's because you're young and I'm old.
That's probably what it is.
It's totally what it is, because I'm old and you're not as old. But Colleen is older than all of us, Nana.
Yeah, Colleen is old. She's still not called in, by the way. She still must be on her way home. So it's just you and I.
Or she forgot, or whatever. Fine, blow us off, whatever. You know, she got dazzled by Bakhtiari's hair or something.
We're cool.
He does have better hair than me. I'll give him that. All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
All right, I'll go ahead. You go. This is a hot mess, just two of us here, and we're totally winging it tonight. Before I switch gears and start talking about the defense, let's talk about the running game. That's kind of what's up with Eddie Lacy. Is he hurt more than he's saying? Because he's really been a non-issue the entire season.
Well, and yeah, I'm a little confused. My opinion is that he must be a little hurt, because I feel like it's not even just that he's not getting very many yards. I feel like he's not gotten a lot of carries, you know. I feel like part of it is maybe he's on like a really low pitch count, and if he's coming out, if he's only able to get a couple yards at a time, then they're going, okay, he's still not right. We need to pull him out of there and just put I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought here because I'm at work. Anyway, we need to pull what am I talking about, Kelly? I totally forgot.
Starks. Pull Lacy, put in somebody else.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm so sorry. I am not in it to win it today. No, that's what I'm saying. We gotta pull him and, you know, give Starks most of the carries. And just give him a chance to heal up. That's the only explanation I really have, Kelly. I don't really know why else he would be, like, hardly out there, and when he is, he's not really able to do a whole lot. I mean, I know that our offensive line is a little bit beat up, and so that could be part of it, but I don't know. I feel like it has to be a continued issue with the ankle, and hopefully, again, this bye week can help him recover.
And I think it's a combination of that and the line. The line has been kind of shaky. This is the first time in weeks that the starting five have been there. But yeah, definitely last week when you had musical guards, you know, I think you had Lang, then he was hurt, then it was Barkley who was in for a bit, then there was Josh Walker, and then for a little bit J.C. Treader even had some play too. I think when you start playing musical line, I think your running game is the first thing that suffers from it. And then you've got a very two-dimensional, you know, offensive scheme where it's like, okay, it's all on Aaron Rodgers. And then it becomes really predictable. And if you have a hurt receiving core, then it's like, okay, we're just going to take Rodgers out, and you have no defense, you have no offense to be punting, which I think is a little bit of what we saw. I think it all started. I think the line isn't 100%. You have Brian Bulaga, who's just a few weeks out of some unspecified knee surgery. I don't know whether it was cleaning up cartilage, if it was repairing his MCL, which I don't know if I buy that, because that type of ligament repair is usually if you've completely torn it, and he's back too soon for completely tearing it. So I have no idea what type of surgery he had. And then you have Lang, who I doubt is 100%. So I think it's kind of the death of a thousand paper cuts. Everybody's hurt, and I think it's just you're getting the trickle-down effect of lines hurt, which means the running game, which is already hurt, is going to suffer, which means everything is on the receiving core, which is nobody to throw to, which means you don't have any offense, and you're just the sheer luck and determination of Aaron Rodgers. So it was a perfect storm of bad news. It was like a tsunami of injuries. So I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to say talk about the defense. I'm going to start by saying this really quietly because I'm probably going to curse him, but hey, D'Tone Jones is actually having a pretty good year. I know. It's super weird. I worry if we say it out loud, we're going to totally curse him. Either stuck dead toads through a straw, or he's going to get hurt. But hey, D'Tone Jones is not that bad.
I know. I'm actually super excited about him. That other one I was going to sit over here and knock on what's really hard about is the fact that
Clay Matthews is still not hurt.
Yeah.
Let me knock something that's wood-like.
Yeah, like Pergol, I don't really care. Just knock on something wood-related, because seriously, I mean, thank goodness these guys are staying relatively healthy. I mean, the defense is actually managed to do pretty well.
But one of the frustrating things I noticed yesterday was they weren't blitzing with Matthews, which either they just decided to double-team him, or they were having him, you know, drop back and try to defend, like, the pass. It's like, why don't you just blitz him? Because that is why he looked so good the week before. It's like he was slipping through the A-gap like nobody saw him. He rarely tried that. They were putting him on the outside, or they were having him, you know, defend the pass. So why the change in strategy?
I think that a lot of it had to do with the quarterback, because Phillip Rivers, if you watched him yesterday, was really able to get the ball off fast. I mean, Aaron Rodgers fast. And so if you try to send a blitz at him all the time, he is going to make you pay for it because of his ability to get the ball out of his hand quickly. And so, I don't know. I think that that's a lot of the reason that they didn't do a lot of blitzing, but rather just really tried to you know, rush the normal amount and, you know, have people drop back into coverage so that, you know, because if they are thinking, do we really want to take this risk and send Clay or whomever else into blitz, and then all of a sudden we're leaving our, you know, the secondary wide open because he can get the ball out so quickly. And I think that was part of the reason that they changed up that strategy.
Yeah, I think you may be on to that. And I'll admit, underappreciate Phil Rivers. I think of that crap year a couple years ago, and then he came back, and then got the comeback year of the award. I'm like, you mean he did suck, so he got an award? But he really is in that rare – he really is a good quarterback, and I think a lot of people forget that. It's like he's been stuck on a crap team for a lot of years, but he's quite good. And you're right, mm-hmm. he's very fast, and he'll beat you. Granted, we made him throw for a bunch of garbage yards because at the end of the day, his defense got it done. But what did he have, like 500 yards or something ridiculous in the air? It was impressive.
It was ridiculous. It was over 500. But I think that almost seemed to be like the entire strategy for the defense was, okay, we're not going to blitz him because he's, you know, super duper good. He gets the ball too fast, and yeah, we might get to him sometimes, but not all the time. And when we can't, which is going to be a large portion of the time, you know, we're going to pay for it, and that's not good. So then we switched to this whole theory of, well, we're just going to give him yards here, there, and everywhere else, and we'll tighten up when we get to the red zone or whatever the case may be. And that kind of defense, just similar to the pretty bench, is what's going to get a team that can pile up a ton of yards but not score a ton of points. And it seems like the defense was a bit of a sieve starting in the second quarter, so that was kind of frustrating. But again, in the end, the offense, hobbled as it may be, is able to pull out enough points so that we didn't have to worry about losing. So, I mean, I think it was a bend but don't break, exactly like Thad said, and switching to that as a product of having a really, really quick release quarterback like Philip Rivers, who will make you pay for it a large number or a large portion of the time if you keep blitzing him.
Yeah, he's definitely not like a Russell Wilson or a Squidward Tentacles that you get really frustrated and they throw garbage into the air. He is pretty accurate. I have to joke that he could be the FedEx Air player, whatever they call it, the passing guy of the week, because he had such huge numbers. But it reminds me a lot of when the Packers take on Minnesota. You've got Adrian Peterson, and they have him run for like 200 yards. Like, wow, why do we give up that much? But he doesn't score anything. I think we saw the opposite this week, where he's like, yeah, sure, let him throw for 10 billion yards, but if it doesn't end up in the end zone, who cares? But I think what helps at the same time is not only did they neutralize him in the sense of less points, we really did shut down the run game again. I don't think there's been a running back, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's actually had 100 yards on the Packers this year. And that's a big difference where we used to get gashed week after week trying to defend the run, and we're doing a better job of neutralizing players.
Yep, absolutely. And you take away that aspect of a team's game, and you can make them one-dimensional. Yeah, they might throw for 500 billion yards, but if you're removing an entire dimension of their game, then you're going to be able to come out with more wins than not simply because they don't have the ability to always be – I mean, yeah, they threw for long yards. But if you take away that run and you don't make the defense respect the – I mean, if they can't make the defense respect the run, and so basically the defense just kind of knows that, okay, well, then we're just going to drop back into coverage because we have no reason to be up here on the line all the time, then you're going to be able to play those games where you give up a bunch of passing yards, but then you don't give up a lot of points simply because you took the run away from them.
Yeah, I think we did a good job at that. Unfortunately, I think they did a good job with us doing the same thing. They shut down the run. That's one thing I really hope the Packers will come back after bye week is have a stout running game again. Starks was on fire yesterday. Of course, I started Eddie Lacy, and I got rid of Starks on my fantasy squad. Oh, that was painful. But other people, I think, that had a really good defensive game, there was Randall, a rookie, won the whole stinking thing. And he wasn't making rookie mistakes. Yeah, he could tell you what color the receiver's eyes were and what chewing gum he was playing, because he was playing that tight. And I think, didn't he have a comment that he really was kind of figuring Rivers out and he knew exactly where he was going to put it? Of course, he's going to say that because he's going to be like, I was really smart and I fucked it. But he really Rivers out.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch. It's fun to watch a rookie really start to come into their own. I am so excited for his potential. I mean, I think that give him, into next year, and I mean, we have a Pro Bowl quality player there because he's quick. He can read the quarterback. He's got that instinct that you're always looking for in a corner. And I think that he's going to blow up here soon. And I think he's already starting to demonstrate why he's a really valuable asset for this team.
Well, he definitely has a very high football IQ. He's definitely reading the elite quarterbacks now. You know, it's one thing knowing that Kaepernick's going to throw some garbage to the sideline, but knowing that Rivers can thread a needle and really knew exactly where he was going to put it, and his timing was impeccable on that last play. I'm like, I kept thinking, crap, we're going to score, we're going to go to overtime, and I'm going to be stuck in Green Bay, and I'm going to get back at like 3 a.m, hooray. Because honestly, that was jaded me. I'm like, I have to drive 3 hours. Please don't go to overtime. Just end it already. And he did.
Yeah.
And I was worried they were going to score, but he really impressed me. He's not making rookie mistakes. He's playing really clean ball. We didn't see much as much of Quentin Rollins this week, but he had his game last week. And I, you know, at the draft, I was surprised. I figured we would take a linebacker in the first round, and then I thought we'd take Quentin Rollins. That was right, haha. But a defensive back in the second round. Now I'm really happy because I think we finally realized that our inside linebacker was Clay Matthews because he's really having an outstanding year. And now I'm really thankful that Ted Thompson took defensive backs in the first two rounds because they're already factoring in. They were all, you know, you got the nickel package and they're all in there then. And I think just like Clinton Dix was worked in and started off as the nickel safety, suddenly as a starter, I think you're going to see that more with Demaryius Randle. And I think he's going to make a run for it to be a starter permanently.
Yeah, and I think he should. I mean, one thing I really enjoy about having a rookie coming up the way that he is that you're going to raise the level of play of all the other guys in his position because they're going, oh, crap, you know, here we are, settled into our roles, and now this kid comes along and is challenging us, and now we got to pick it up again because otherwise I'm going to lose my job, you know? And so I really enjoy, I think it has a lot of benefits for a team when a rookie really starts to come up because, you know, everybody's going to be looking over their shoulder going, hey, I better get it together. I better pick up my speed. I better, you know, practice a little bit later. I better read the playbook a little harder because I don't want to lose my job. And so that's the other benefit that I think is really great. And, yeah, Quentin Rollins, we didn't hear his name a lot, but, you know, he's not going to have the kind of game he had last week every week. So I'm excited about both of those guys. They're probably one of my favorite parts of the season.
And this is where Colleen would probably lose her mind and try to stab me, but I think one of the best things we did in the offseason was offload Tremont Williams. Because I don't think our secondary, if we would have went with him as a starter, we would have had the same issues we had last year. But now you have fresh blood infused into the secondary. I think it's a lot more physical. It's a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at it, and they're challenging all the time. It isn't the real soft coverage. Yeah, there was some soft coverage yesterday. It drove me bananas. But for the most part, they're running neck and neck. You're seeing more defensive pass interference, but like McCarthy said in his presser today, he likes those types of penalties because it means you're trying.
Exactly.
It isn't you're gambling. You're actually going for the ball. And I think that's why I don't have a problem either with, like, ha-ha, getting the flag every once in a while because he is there and he's going to lay you out or he's going to get the ball. He doesn't think he's going to watch you catch it. He's going to stop you. And I think this is raising the level of play because Sam Shields, I think, is having a better year than in years past. And he had two interceptions, attempts at interceptions that he should have had. But I think compared this year to last year, he's even raised his level of play. And I think, like you said, I think he wants to keep his position.
Yep.
So any other defenders stand out to you yesterday? I know Matthews was kind of – he was still there. Peppers had a good game. Anyone else really stand out to you yesterday?
Not necessarily. I mean, I feel like the defense was the difference in the last couple of weeks just because of the way that they game plan for Phillip Rivers. And actually, my dad made a really interesting comment since you were talking about Phillip Rivers being elite and how he's really done well and how he's functioned. He said that they had to watch the Vikings game yesterday and
you're
the
poor
dad. Episode of, I know. And so he watched a good chunk of it anyway. He's like, you know, it's really interesting to watch the Vikings game. Who are they playing again? I don't even remember. I never remember anything else from game day other than the Packers. I don't remember who the Vikings are playing. Anyway.
Crud, I forget who they play, but
yeah, totally. Anyway, so the Vikings were, you know, they're playing, and he's watching that. He's like, it's so interesting to hop over to then, you know, the Packers game because the level of play is just so, you know, the watching that Packers-San Diego game, which was downright gritty, it was clearly meticulously planned. The talent was able to rise to the occasion on both sides of the ball because we have to remember to give a lot of credit to San Diego for what they accomplished yesterday. We are very, very good at what we do, but at the same time, they're also very good at what they do, especially on offense. And so, you know, we have to give them to say, hey, you know what, they're going to get their yard, but, you know, as long as we game plan a certain way, then we should be able to play the odds and come out on top. And my dad said, you know, watching the difference between the two games was just stark. He's like, I felt like I was watching a high school game and then watching, like, an elite football game. And so that was kind of interesting. I think that in the end, the defense played did what they were supposed to do as a whole. I think they did what they were supposed to do, but there wasn't really anybody who super stood out to me, and that's because that really wasn't the way that yesterday's game was designed, I don't think.
And I think one of the reasons the line didn't stand out yesterday is because B.J. Raji wasn't there. I think we really noticed his absence. I think he's having a very good season. And I think it's definitely a contract show-me-the-money type of he wants to stay with the team, and this is a do-or-die season for him. He definitely noticed his absence because I think the big guy is flexible and faster than everyone realizes. And, Troy Guyon was in. But I think he paled in comparison to Raji. But I think you just hit on a great point. It's like you look at, we're always like, oh, Rodgers had a horrible day. Well, like probably 25 out of 32 quarterbacks in the league would love to have his ability and his numbers. And so his crappy day is a lot of quarterbacks' good day. And I think we have to keep reminding ourselves that. It's like he's phenomenal and out of this world. But even on his pedestrian horrible days, they're really not that bad. But looking I was looking at the schedule, and the last few minutes we started looking forward to it beyond the bye week. It's not a cakewalk. It's Thunderdome in 2 weeks in Denver. So it's like two teams enter, one team leaves, the other one has a loss. The winner will be undefeated. And then after that, we play Cam Newton and another undefeated team. It's like we don't have any coasting, i.e. playing the rest of the NFC North for a couple weeks. So
I think even playing the NFC North is tough because if you watch the games of the NFC North, those teams may be kind of terrible, but when it comes down to it, these divisional games are always like because the teams know each other super well, and it's always kind of a bit of a bloodbath. And so I don't think that even those are necessarily gimmies, even if we're dealing with tough teams, or even if we're dealing with teams that we perceive to be easy simply because they're in a division.
But I think there's no coasting after the bye week is what I was trying to say. Denver's offense, I'm not convinced, is you've got Manning and his supposed noodle arm, but he's still managing to win games. But I think it's also on the backs of their defense. That is going to be one scary defense, and I think it's going to be another test. And it's not going to get any easier playing Cam Newton the week afterwards.
Well, especially with the style of quarterback play that Cam has.
Oh, definitely. You either have bad Cam or good Cam, and lately we've been seeing out of this world Cam Newton. But that said, I'm not as worried about taking on Arizona. Everyone was talking about they're the team to beat. Well, I think they're proving they're not. What are they, 2-4 now? They've lost more than you thought they were going to lose.
Yeah.
So I'm not as scared of Arizona, but we're not at the halfway point of the season. But I think it's going to be a fight till the end. And we definitely have one of the tougher schedules this year. I'm not as worried about Denver. I think Denver won't be nearly as challenging as Cam Newton and the Panthers, but I could be totally wrong about that.
Yeah. My opinion on the Denver game is that our defense is just really going to have to step up. I think that it's a lot of it, first of all, depends on who we get back from injury because their defense is epic. And so if we're not firing at all cylinders the offense, I cannot see how we're going to score more than 17 to 20 points. That being said, Peyton Manning needs to throw all the interceptions and all the land, period. I think that our defense is going to need a pick six or two. I think they're really just going to have to step it up and stop that offense as much as possible and keep them 14 points or below, because if they don't, I really have a bad feeling about this game. I think our defense is really just going to have to show what they're made of in this one. And this is a situation in which I say blitz until you cannot blitz anymore, because you're dealing with an immobile quarterback and a suspect
with a noodle arm.
With a noodle arm. And his release has been slower. This is a situation where I say send Clay and unleash the beast.
Oh, I totally agree. If you have the defense that played last week and the week before that, I think we could totally annihilate Peyton Manning, which is fine because he's not one of my favorite quarterbacks. I'd love to see him on his back early and often. But I think that's going to be the key to the success. It's like, yes, I hope our receivers are healthy and Aaron Rodgers can put up big numbers like we're used to. But this game is going to definitely rise and fall on the defense. Because yeah. Aaron's going to have his hands full taking on their defense, and they know exactly how to neutralize them. But if we can beat them at their own game, and it's going to be a battle of defenses, because we know that Peyton Manning is, if he's uninhibited, you know, he's unneutralized, so to speak, he could have a monster a day. But I don't think they've played as tough of a defense as the Packers have played this year.
Right.
So I think we could bring him down, and I think. If we attack them like we took out the Rams, I think we have a good chance of winning it. But this is going to be probably the biggest challenge of the season so far. Because everyone's
definitely.
The revenge tour, which I loved. But let's face it, San Francisco and Seattle really are not that good this year.
Yeah,
I think the first real test, you know, I think San Diego was the first test, but I think a bigger test is going to be Denver. And it's at Denver, so we got to bring our A game with the defense. On the road. So if we can win that, I think we're really well on our way to being, you know, top of the power rankings. Not that I really care about power rankings because they're subjective little popularity contest.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. And do we want to do predictions next week? Are we?
Yeah, we'll do predictions next week. This is usually where we start ripping on Jay, but he's not here.
But we did have throwback weekend, so can I just say one more thing about your dad? He was grading my
birth
yesterday, which was hilarious.
Okay, my dad, so the people that don't know my dad, he's more deadpan than Jay. He's kind of like...
Super deadpan.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, Danny's over the corner going, brrrr, and my dad's like, well, that's just a three.
Yeah, well, that's a deep pause. And then
he's
there for a while, and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm your shade tree. And he literally stood there for like 20 minutes blocking the sun from my face because I was
I cannot
not
believe I dragged my 73-year-old dad to a tailgate. My mom thought he was nuts. He's like, my mother's like, so how do you know all these people? I'm like, well, they're friends from, you know, the internet. And she's like, why? How do you know they're not going to kill you? I'm like, well, they haven't killed me yet, Mom, and I think we're good.
Yeah,
so my mom thought my dad and I
like
were total dorks. And, you know, my dad met everybody and realized my friends aren't that weird. He didn't die. So, Mom, I win, you lose. What about my dad? What?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I got to bring my family this year, too. I got to bring my brother and my sister-in-law and my nephew. And my nephew was, and you did not get to meet my nephew, but my nephew was there for a couple of hours at the party on Saturday night. And there was a DJ. And, of course, you know how being a throwback weekend does. It's very quiet. People are filtering in, like, significantly between, like, more people end up showing up, like, after 9 o'clock. Well, so Henry basically took over the dance floor and was, like, he had his little Mardi Gras beads from the DJ, and he was just so darn cute out there. And so everybody got to meet him, except for you. And so that was really fun. That was a highlight for me. It was a very different throwback weekend than what I've become accustomed to. I got to do a couple breweries with my brother, and I really had a great time this year. Like, I know it wasn't necessarily all, like, quote, sanctioned because there weren't T-shirts and koozies and all of that. But I felt like it was kind of going back to its roots a little bit. I really, really enjoyed it. So,
I wish I could have been there Saturday night. I was visiting family, you know, who have health issues. I'll leave it at that on the other side of the fan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was doing that.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'll just say cancer. Cancer sucks.
It does.
I'm happy to see that, you know, throwback, whatever incarnation it was this year, still brought some really awesome people together. I wish we could have met the UK Packers. And, guys, we are going to have a joint show. Mark my words, we're going to do it. It's going to happen this year. I know because they were doing the whole Resch Center, you know, taking them the whole experience. They should have stopped by. Losers, you did not. Except we'll have pints. We will have pints soon. But, yeah, I like how throwback really got back to its roots of friends getting together with common interests and just really having a good time this weekend. And I had a blast. I still can't believe it. I brought my old man and he had a good time. Because he really didn't. He wasn't miserable. I thought he would be, but he was happy.
No.
I give him a drink, popcorn, and some lots of
awesome.
Snacks, and he's a happy guy.
Exactly.
He's a happy guy. So
give
Jay,
guy
you're
some
a loser
food.
For not. Jay, you're a loser for not coming. So I guess we should roll the credits just in your honor because
yeah,
you're here. We'd ask you what you think,
him.
But we're gonna roll the credits.
Roll
so I'll say it for you.
The credits.
Roll time.
The credits. I'm not saying roll.
We'll come up with a theme. Hey, we managed
exactly.
to go a whole hour of slandering, so.
Yeah.
Oh. We rock! Woo! Oh, thank you, Jay. Hopefully, don't kill your landlord.
Eddie Lacy, Mike Daniels, Gilbert Brown, Don Barclay, Micah Hyde, your Green Bay Packers, yesterday's legends and today's superstars. From corporate or nonprofit events to private parties, add some spice, hire a Packers player from Mayfield Sports Marketing. For details, just go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances.
Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.